Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy, I think you do a great job of facilitating the podcast. You bring in the right experts and you probe for the right questions and dive into the areas that are very relevant for your listeners. So I think you do an excellent job. So thank you for having me on the podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today is part three of our series of Life in Times of COVID-19. And today's sponsor is Sally Doyle. So you can schedule a profit analysis with Sally for only $149. Take charge of your money life. Get a second opinion. Sally Doyle is the founder of Absolute Business Solutions. She's known as a trustworthy bookkeeper who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for. You're freed up to do the work you're good at and keep leading. So give Sally Doyle, profit strategist, bookkeeper, and innovative thinker at Business Solutions, a call. You can reach her at 1-651-208-8151. So today in the studio, we have Elisa Najjar. We have had two previous conversations, which I'll have in the show notes. So we had two conversations about how to leave a legacy you love, because every one of our souls is a brilliant diamond and we need to handle it as such. And there's a ton of different tips of how to leave a legacy in place that you really love, that really connects with your spirit. And the second conversation we had was how to live by the rule of love in business, which is not easy to do, because there's lots of rules around how we should be interacting when what we need is to have these deep, important conversations with each other and have the spirit of working through conflict with each other as things surface. I want to shape our conversation today in terms of how it affects you when you're in asserting self-leadership, because we're going to be talking about kind of the bigger picture of what's going on in COVID-19, and also how do you engage and do the work of self-mastery and self-development. And so I want to leave our conversation giving you, you know, lots of tips and ideas to do the work that you need to do right now. And I want to connect it with the bigger picture so you can understand where our world kind of is going. So asserting self-leadership always means taking charge of mastering oneself. So mastery means reaching a level of expertise, like investing time and energy into understanding something. So this is measured in our society with a common view of 10,000 hours or 10 years. So we all know that once you reach a point of mastery, the learning doesn't stop. We know brainwave activity continues throughout our lives, and we need practices and routines that promote sight into mind, or what Daniel Siegel calls mind sight. So when you reach self-mastery, you know yourself in a way that no one else does. You have self-love that expands and grows in relationships with others. You understand how your mind works through utilizing techniques that enhance your knowing and what is known about who you are. You know how to connect with others and feel a certain level of competency in being in relationships with others. You know how to identify and manage your feelings and get your needs met. And I thought that it was important in this conversation to talk a little bit about, most of us don't realize that we all have universal needs. I mean, we all know we need to feed ourselves and exercise and things, but there's other human needs like connection, physical well-being, honesty, play, peace, autonomy, and meaning. And when our needs are met, we feel affectionate, engaged, hopeful, confident, excited, grateful, inspired, joyful, exhilarated, peaceful, and refreshed. When those universal needs go unmet, we feel afraid, annoyed, angry. We may experience aversion or repulsed, confused, disconnected, disquieted, embarrassed, fatigued, pain, sad, tense, vulnerable, and yearning. And under each of those categories, there's a whole bunch of other feelings that we have. So we're just a ball of, you know, lots of feelings and emotions that surface that help in within our bodies that we need to understand their frequency, the energy, where we're holding them in our body so that we can interpret how to get our needs met better, especially if we're not feeling affectionate or engaged or not confident or excited or grateful. And our ability to meet our universal human needs has totally been disrupted. Our need for connection and celebrating life milestones, one long tradition of how we honor, like right now, graduates from elementary school or middle school or high school and colleges, all are taking place online. Our livelihoods affect our physical well-being. They've been disrupted. Religious practices and traditions have gone virtual. We are in a time of reflection and fast-paced action, determining what's important in our lives and our relationships, and meeting our needs in new and different ways is what we need to become more tuned in on. So I invited Lisa Najjar here to discuss by phone the bigger picture of what is going on with us collectively. We also thought it beneficial to talk about what doing the work on yourself really is all about in shaping what your spiritual life can look like. This conversation is about what is known and what we are learning. We don't have all the answers. We're here to help guide you within to find the answers for yourself by giving you information and inspiration to do the work. So here's a little bit about Lisa. Walt Disney once said, in quotes, "Always remember that this whole thing was started with a dream and a mouse," end quote. For Lisa Najjar, the dream was to help raise consciousness on the planet, and the mouse was Walt Disney himself. So Dying to Tell You is Lisa's first book. I talked about it in our first two conversations, and I'm going to remind you about it today, especially if you're a new listener. This is like a must-have in your reading library. Lisa's a psychic channel medium. She's also a court reporter, you know, the lady who sits in the courtroom using that funny machine to record and transcribe the readings or proceedings. They can be readings. This court reporter is now reporting for a higher court, not the Supreme Court, but the celestial court. You could say she is a celestial court reporter. This book wasn't so much written as it was transcribed. She took dictation while those in spirit, celebrities, historical figures, and higher master beings, shared their wisdom from the other side, from behind the veil of death. The book Dying to Tell You is a collection of deep, soulful, inspiring channeled messages shared from the heart of each one of our guests. So in an effort to help us all on Earth to live better, more meaningful, more fulfilling lives now while still in our bodies is kind of what the book is about, that she's channeled from the celebrities important messages that they would like us to know. So welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Nancy. Thank you so much for having me. I love being here.
Oh, excellent. Every time we have an interaction or experience together, I thank you so much. I just grow in confidence in your understanding of the celestial world. And I also deeply love you and feel like you're living what you're preaching.
Thank you.
So how are you feeling right now?
Good. You know, I think we're all, like everybody, I'm also feeling a bit, in some ways restricted, and in other ways quite expanded, because it's a restriction of our normal, but it's an expansion of possibility. And I think that's what I have to always remind myself of when I get into that state of, oh, I can't do this, and oh, that got canceled or whatever. I just think, yes, but look at all these possibilities that have opened up now. So I feel like I'm trying to really utilize this time as best I can. It's not always easy though, Nancy.
Yeah. So tell me how your spiritual work, your intuitive coaching, your readings, classes and seminars and TV show, how have all of that shifted?
Everything's gone online. I right now should be in Canada doing 3 weeks of evenings with spirit, and they're live. They're done in people's homes or yoga centers or churches or whatever. And so all of that was canceled. And so so that was a big adjustment. And now I'm, you know, looking at doing everything, of course, virtual like everybody else. And, you know, it's a big learning curve. I'm not techie, so it's particularly difficult. But I find myself having to grow in ways I guess was resisting before. And now suddenly I have to do it or else I won't be out there. And also I'm putting together a podcast, and that's big for me because it's something I've wanted to do. And I kept thinking, well, when I get time, well, when my travel schedule kind of slows down, oh, well, when all the suns and moons and everything aligns in the heavens. But you know what? I'm forced into it now. And again, I say that's created this opening. And for that, I'm grateful. It's pushing me sort of past those comfort levels that I had before.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely not alone in struggling with different aspects of taking things online and working with all the technology that's involved in that. Yeah, we're definitely in this whole new reality on more than one level. So I was wondering if we could start with like a basic understanding of what consciousness means. Is it the interplay between the mind and spirit? Is that how you define it?
Nancy, nobody's ever asked me to define consciousness. Wow. You are really making me go inside right now. I have no idea how I would describe consciousness. I guess it's just a my current understanding is our consciousness determines where we are. So we can only live in a reality that our consciousness is in. And when we raise our consciousness to a higher level of truth or beauty or justice or love or joy, when we rise to that higher level, then we can experience a reality that's congruent with that. But if we don't, then we'll never be able to see that reality anywhere. So, but beyond that, I don't think I could even touch that.
Well, I think that's a great definition, you know, where we fit presently. So our consciousness determines where we are. Part of when we think about consciousness or, you know, or we talk about like the mind and the spirit or spirituality, there's also these religious traditions and practices that have been disrupted and also seems to kind of accompany, you know, the conversation. And I think there's more and more of us who are talking about consciousness and different levels of energy and how we're all connected and how we interconnect and how we pick up on people's, you know, not only their bacteria, but the energy that they're putting out into the world. And if we're developing a higher sensitivity to that, you know, more of an awareness of that, I think that that is also a place in which we can understand each other on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And the consciousness, just a little extra about that is that never dies. I mean, our body, the physical body can, well, of course, does die, but it doesn't matter because our consciousness lives on. And that is what speaks to me in my sessions. When I do phone sessions with people, I'm speaking to their relatives that are dead or to the beloved masters, the fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional masters. And they don't, you know, they're not present in front of me. It's a consciousness. And that cannot die. It does not die. So we come down here from heaven, let's say heaven, just for the sake of argument, from heaven, we come down here to do our work and to evolve ourselves. And we've come into what we call the third dimension. It's a dimension, a dimensional reality, and it's where we do all our problem solving and our growth work within the context of survival. So food and relationships and money and competition and other people and relationally. So it's all that. How do we learn amongst all of that? And clearly that's what we do. I mean, every husband and wife, they're not just there to raise children there and grow them, but they're there to grow themselves. And every time they relate together, they're either evolving or devolving, because how do we react to this? What do we think about this? How do we take this and grow from it? And if we don't, and we just keep sort of fighting with each other, well, then we're just playing this nonsense game that doesn't grow us in any way. And we really want to do that every chance we get, to grow ourselves.
Yeah. And I think that takes conscious conversations. I mean, I consciously, intentionally talk about how, you know, we can grow together. So, you know, it's more of a, you know, spiritual mentoring. You know, it's not just based on the survival of your business. It's based on you doing meaningful work that is contributing to the purpose of why you're here.
Right, right. And a lot of it, as you mentioned earlier, is what we do inside. You know, spiritual me a long time ago, maybe, gosh, 20 years ago, that if every person, because at the time I had this idea, this need to go out there and help others. Oh, I've got to help others. I've just got to help. I'm here to help. I'm here to change the world. And Spirit corrected me. And it was kind of shocking to me, because that's what I identified with, is this, I'm here on this earth to help people. And it was my claim to fame. And they shocked me by saying, actually, no, you need to learn to let go of the word need. There is no such thing as need. There's nothing you need to do. Nobody comes here with a single thing that they need to do. And furthermore, they said, is the only thing that would be helpful for you and for every person on the planet is to look inside and do their own work. Because by you helping yourself, evolving yourself, growing yourself, realizing more of your true nature, stepping into your true self, speaking your truth in love, standing in your power, all those things, you know, following your passions, having the courage to, you know, set boundaries, all those wonderful self-help things that we do to grow ourselves, those things will raise our own vibration. And Spirit said, and then once you have your vibration that's higher, you step out into the world and literally you step into a room and you've just changed the energy and the vibration and the consciousness of everyone in that room. Rather than had you gone off to Mexico or let's say somewhere in the, you know, in Africa and built orphanages and worked with, you know, orphan children, you might think, oh, that lady that's doing the orphan work, oh, she's really doing a lot. And Spirit said, no, there's nothing the matter with that. But everyone would do better to go inside, heal themselves, resolve that which is not resolved right now, all their issues, resolve yourself, clear yourself, raise your vibration. And then all you have to do is step outside of your home and you radiate a light that is so vast and that is so world changing that you don't have to lift a finger. And then from there, if you choose to do this activity versus that, go to that orphanage, do that, you're going in there as a beautiful, you know, radiant being. So it just serves the whole, not only ourselves, but the whole more when we first, as they say on the airplane, you know, put your own mask on first and then go help others.
You know, the part of the question for me along the path too is, okay, so you're accustomed to putting your mask on first. Okay, what if you're accustomed to doing that? What does that look like? And because I will be okay with putting my mask on maybe for a period of time, or like when I'm working with clients, they're generating the income they need for their business. They're gathering the resources that they need. They're doing the work, but you go along for a while and that works good. And then it's like you're projected, you know, or ejected, you know, out of your space, headspace, and you're moving into another level of development. Mm-hmm. Like with COVID-19, we're not by choice. And I think a lot of this, growth that we do is usually not by choice. It's something that when you make the commitment to do the work of evolving as you go, you're interpreting things that are coming into your world differently than if you have blinders on.
Yes. Yes. And Lord Shiva came to me on December 5th, 2019, and shared with me a lot of what was coming in 2020. And of course, I mean, at the time, nothing was going on. So, and I really thought this was going to be a great year. Told all my friends, oh, this is going to be my best year ever. And I really believed it. So when Shiva came and burst my bubble and said, nope, Lisa, it's really not going to be. And I said, no, it's like you could imagine a kid putting their hands over their ears going, I don't want to hear you. I don't hear you. I don't hear you. Because I couldn't bear it. I could not listen. But I had to listen. But he carried on. I say he. I mean, it's God, Shiva. But I'll say he just because. He said, but Lisa, this is all for the best. There is a really, it's a divine plan. May not look like it while it's happening, but it's divine. It's in divine and perfect order. And it is there because most people, he said, human beings don't seem to learn when they're all cozy and cushy and everything's going right. They don't learn. They don't ask any questions. They don't dig deeper. They don't even try to find out what they're here for or who they are. They just go along and they go along and they keep using and doing and distracting and getting absorbed in their
patterns and traps.
And all of a sudden they get a cancer diagnosis or their marriage breaks up or their child dies. And suddenly they're on their knees asking God to please explain the nature of the universe to them. And so spirit, Shiva said, Lisa, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, that's the way it's designed. So there is going to be some, events on 2020 that will cause the world to come to its knees. And it must come to its knees because it's going along blindly and has no idea what they're here for. And they're here to evolve themselves and to really ask those bigger questions. And this, somebody wrote, it was a quote, I'm sorry, I don't know who it was, said, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And I will stand by that. That's pretty much what Shiva said. Don't waste this time. Really use it for the fullest advantage and let it call out of you the things that weren't right in your world. I mean, right now, Nancy, there are people sitting in their homes, and I think about this all the time and think, yep, she was right. Because just people I know, forget about sort of the masses, there are all kinds of people that are suddenly looking at their partner going, whoa, we haven't been in love for 20 years, but we're doing it because we think we should, because our I don't want to disappoint my mother-in-law or I'm just scared. I'm scared to be without a man or whatever the case is. There are lots of those situations. Yeah. There are lots of situations where people are, say, addicted to things. They're addicted to distraction, even if it's not drugs, alcohol, and the like. It can be just distraction or to work or to sex or to you name it. And the spirit has said to me, Lisa, don't kid yourself. Every human being is addicted to something. Approval, love, victimization, there's an addiction in everybody, a tendency. And so basically people are all having to kind of look at themselves because they're now shut in and they're going, all right, what's my go-to? Is it anger? I'm noticing I explode all the time, or I notice I overwork, but that's because I was staying away from my family. But why is that? Okay, well, this is the time to start looking at that and going, what's really underneath this? What's going on? What maybe didn't get resolved from even childhood? Many of most of our stuff is, from way back. So what didn't get resolved? What am I still so angry about? Why do I drink this much, or whatever the case is? And it's calling us, well, it's supposed to call us to look at this, but will people do it? Well, some will, and some will just drink more or distract more or
check out.
So that's my message to people is really use this time because you are not here for anything except to grow yourself. There's no other reason, Spirit tells me, that we are on this planet except to grow ourselves. And we don't usually grow ourselves in, you know, kind of in a blissy state. It's nice to visit there like on a holiday, you know. Well, I'm from Canada, so I guess you, the Americans would say on a vacation. you know, you go on a holiday to the beach, and it's lovely. It's a bit of an escape, and that's wonderful. But then you go home and you get back to work. But in this case, the work isn't work. The work is inner work. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't waste this time and really look at the things that are causing us anxiety besides the obvious. Obviously, there's fear of the unknown, fear of death, fear of financial, you know, ruin, fear of the economy and as a whole. There's all that, and that's real. But I mean, look inside at the sort of the non-global things and say, what else inside me is causing me a lot of angst? What's going on here? And maybe it's time to take a look at our patterns, our go-tos, our addictions, our marriage, our whatever it is, and say, why am I doing that? Because Nancy, I'll tell you, if there's one thing that the famously and non-famously dead have said to me, it's that the minute you cross over, you will look back at your life and go, oh, what was I doing? Why didn't I go for that job I really wanted? Why didn't I have the courage to do this? Why did I stay with that person so long? Why? If we're not living our joy, if we're not living our truth, if we're not living our passions and with courage, it's something that we'll probably want to redo. Let's put it that way. We're going to probably come back and redo that. So why bother? Let's do it right now. We're here.
Well, and that's what I was left with our last podcast conversation, was the thought of, you know, wherever we leave off here, we continue on the other side.
Absolutely.
And I thought, oh, yeah, then it makes sense, you know, to answer the why questions right now, you know, do that reckoning right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because it's right time, you can still course correct.
Absolutely. Every single moment is a new. And that's what Shiva said to me, is that this is going to feel and look bad, but it's actually one of the most beautiful things, because it's going to cause people en masse to really stop, reflect, really, really look at things. And not to mention, Nancy, forget about it. This is just the inner work. But forget about, I mean, look at the environment. I mean, does anyone on this planet actually think that they could just keep going the way they were going, and that it's just going to keep on going, and it's an endless supply, that the trees, just they're just going to always be there, the air, this planet, it's just going to keep renewing itself the way we're raping and pillaging it? I mean, does anyone really think that?
Yeah, there are some people do think that. I mean, we've got an administration that is functioning at a very low energy level.
Oh gosh, our world is pure toxic, everything in it. So it's got to be, you know, that alone has to stop. And if nothing else, even if you don't want to do your own work, it's time to stop and at least take a pause and go, whoa, what are we doing? Let's actually look at what we're doing here, you know, overpopulating and using every single bit of the earth to the level we are, and buying, and it's too much. And so I think everything needs a break. And and Shiva and Jesus, even on, it was Good Friday and Easter Sunday, came through with just beautiful messages about forgiveness, forgiving others, forgiving self. Where inside of ourselves have we not forgiven? What is at war within our own selves? You know, what's still unresolved within ourselves? Take a deep, hard, scary. It's scary to do that work, but start going inside and really look at yourself and course correct, course correct, course correct.
this is the time. And that will serve you really well going forward, really well. And on top of which, with every change you make, I think Jesus said it in my book. Was it Jesus? Yeah, I think Jesus said something like, with every person that makes a change for themselves, changes the whole world. Every little change that you make
and I make,
change the whole world. Yeah.
And so, I went through, so in our conversation, we talked about some of the famous people within your book, but it's a thin book and it's really well designed. I love too the way you, you know, kind of talked about where you were at and what state of mind you were in, or, you know, sometimes the music or the smells or, you know, were coming through and why you needed to end some short or, you know, you were just, I appreciated kind of the human interpretation of what was going on. You were really doing a great job of transcribing both the celestial and the human elements.
Well, thank you, Nancy, because sometimes when I read some of those passages where I was cutting them off, and I thought, God, Lacey, you're so irreverent. I mean, here's, you know, Abraham Lincoln is standing there, or, you know, whoever it is, and I'm literally going, Abe, listen, it's 2 a.m. I have to go to sleep. Can we touch base tomorrow? And I thought, who's doing that? And I just laugh at myself going, Lisa, did you really do that? I can't believe I did that. But I did.
But you're
and
like, boundaries. I got to have these physical boundaries.
Exactly. You know, but, and you know what, they know who I am. And, you know, it's funny, I just watched something the other day and I posted it on my Facebook from this Zach Bush. It was so beautiful. He was interviewed by Rich Roll. And I think it's Rich Roll. The last 10 minutes of his talk, I mean, they didn't show the talk that they had, but the last 10 minutes, it was this doctor who's seen patients, who's revived patients who were on, you know, flatlined and then brought them back. And he talks that 10 minutes about the first thing they say when he brings them back from the dead and they cross the board, they say, why did you bring me back? And he says, and the reason is because the second you step into the light and you go into that truth, their true place, you feel completely accepted, completely loved, like you never were on the human plane. And it's true. It's true. That's where we are pure love and light is in God's eyes. We are pure love and light. It's here on earth. We think we're these small little sort of nothings, and, you know, we don't stand in our power and we don't affirm each other's greatness. But we are all magnificent, beautiful, powerful light beings, and we're perfect just the way we are. And that's the message Jesus gave me back 20 years ago. We're perfect exactly as we are, no matter what crimes we've committed, no matter what we've done, we are absolutely perfect. And everyone is, actually. So those are things we've come to learn, actually.
Yeah. And those things can comfort us, you know, while we're in this turbulent time. And we have time to read and go inward and connect with people like you. So thanks so much for being here, Lisa. This is awesome. And you've got a couple of things that you're working on as far as helping with people at this time. Would you like to share a little bit about what that is?
Yes. Yes. Thanks, Nancy. And thank you so much for having me. I always so enjoy talking to you. You're beautiful and so articulate. I do my regular sessions. So psychic sessions, medium. It's whatever, you know, when the client calls me, I just ask them which direction they want to go. So I do psychic work, mediumship work. I could do a lot of ancestral soul healing. So helping people that are sort of stuck and they can't sort of move past where they are in terms of, let's say, relationship or business or success or any of that. And also, of course, in the mediumship, bringing in their loved ones that maybe they have unresolved issues with, I can really help to get final resolution and get some real forgiveness and some understanding around some of those issues that maybe they weren't able to address, but I can bring in their loved one and it's just very healing work. In addition to that, I offer Evenings with Spirit. I'm doing them online now, so anybody can gather 7 to 10 of their friends, family, and they can now be from anywhere in the world. So you might have a couple friends in Australia and one in New Zealand and 3 in Canada and 2 in the United States. And all of you guys come together and we meet up on Zoom and I give mini readings to everybody. And it's kind of just a neat way to connect and to hear everyone's little mini reading. And it's just sort of a fun couple of hours on a Saturday afternoon or a Friday night. So I do that. People can get in touch with me at my website, dyingtotellyoubooksplural.com, dyingtotellyoubooks.com. And when they sign up for my newsletter, which is, I usually get one out about 4 times a year only. But I, every month, well, on the 11th of every month, I draw for free, a winner for a free reading. So, and I've met some beautiful folks that won free readings, and I do that every month. So, and there's a tip guide to raising your consciousness, raising your vibration. So that also is there if you sign up. So yeah, hope to see everybody.
Well, gosh,
someday somewhere.
Yeah, I love the way you're innovating. Fantastic. You're using this time to work on yourself and also elevate how you're working with people in a much bigger way. Wow. Excellent.
Thanks. Thank you, Nancy. And I love the work that you're doing. So keep it up. It's beautiful.
Thanks. All right. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks, Mike Bea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère. He's my brother from another mother. We'll talk to all of you next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our WeMentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through WeMentor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in these all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a WeMentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in WeMentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out WeMentor.com. You can email me, Nancy, at WeMentor.com or call me, 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening and we'll see you next week.